This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, your weekly hour of old-time radio, brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. The first story this week is from Escape. It's titled The Island, first aired July 11th, 1951. That's followed up with Theater 5 and Found Money, their story from December 2nd, 1964.
You, finding life rather dull, dreaming again of exotic places, wishing you were somewhere else, we offer you Escape.
Escape with us now to the Western Pacific and the story of a man trapped by the terror of another man's insane dream, as Millard Kaufman tells it in his exciting story, The Island.
The problem was, what could I do with Robert Lacey? You happen to have a dream book handy with all the charts and categories precisely arranged in alphabetical order? In it, you'll find a dream for loneliness, about girls in soft summery dresses. You'll find a dream for hunger, a 2-pound steak, perhaps smothered all over with lamb chops. There are dreams for the traveler, of a hometown far away and long ago. But find me a dream of a place you've never seen, a place that doesn't exist. Awake or asleep, that was Lacey's dream. Corporal Robert Lacey, 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. A harmless enough dream, I guess, and not to be taken seriously. Or so it seemed until that night when Lacey's dream became my problem. May it was, 1945. In a little wood on Okinawa.
Okay, Deborah, I guess we're safe.
Where are we anyhow?
Oh, a couple of 3 miles behind the Jap lines.
So how safe is that?
You worry too much, pal. Even for a guy on his first patrol.
I've been thinking of it as my last.
Nah, relax like me. You'll live forever.
Whoa. What's that?
Yeah, it's nothing. Just a screaming Mimi. Got some kind of a tail adjustment that cuts the wind, sort of screams. Nips use it to scare us.
Well, they sure succeeded.
You scare easy, don't you, pal?
Yeah, sure. I'm a pushover for that Shrekley kite stuff.
Shrekley kite? Well, what kind of jive's that?
Means terror. Frightfulness. The Germans got a whole arsenal of terror weapons.
Yeah, well, the Japs got a few themselves. Yeah, what do you say we sack in, huh?
Here?
That's as good as the next place.
What a lash-up. 3 miles behind Jap lines.
Got no more chance of getting back tonight and crawling through the hole in a lifesaver. Get knocked off if we try. You take a first watch. I'm going to sack in.
You're going to sleep?
Oh, my. Oh, maybe I'll just sit down here and do a little dreaming for a while.
You're sure picking a fine time for it.
Did I ever tell you about my island?
Yeah, you told me.
Well, there's this island, see?
You must have told me 50, 60 times in the past month.
Well, I'm going to tell you again. This island, it's a sort of a special place. There's no rain. No jungle rot, no war, Just a quiet, cozy spot where a man can lay down under a banyan tree and live off the fat of the land.
There is no such place.
On this island, a man would never go hungry. All you gotta do is fish a little bit with the natives, and they'll all be big men, and they'll be friendly, not like the Nips. And all the women will be beautiful.
You read too many comic books.
Yeah, that's where I'm fixing to go as soon as I find it. Never gonna go back stateside. Just gonna lay down under that little old banyan tree.
I let him rave on. What else could I do? Argue with him?
Maybe fish a little?
There I was, 3 miles deep in enemy lines with a stranger. His eyes narrowed in a 1,000-yard stare. His rush of words like a nervous twitch. He raved on about a place that don't exist. Big men and beautiful women.
Real pretty. Different, you know? Like nothing you ever saw.
I found myself listening sort of hypnotized. And I learned something about Corporal Lacey and what combat weariness means. He'd foraged too long among the rotten, bomb-scarred pebbles of the Pacific. He'd seen too much death, too many crack-ups. He himself was half-cracked and slightly dead, barely held together by the taut and twisted wires of his dream. So what could I do? Argue with him?
I'm gonna eat roast wild pig and pineapple and bat the breeze with the people. And there's gonna be cattle on the island, too. And I'm gonna find me a beautiful girl and I... Tabari.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm listening.
Look, Tabari, out there. Coming toward us. No, over there. About 2 o'clock, you see it?
A bunch of them.
No, it's not a bunch, it's just 4. 3 men and a woman.
They're heading right for us.
Hey, put down that rifle.
What's the matter, you flip or something?
They're not Japs. Men are too big. It's funny, though. Woman with them.
Maybe his eyes were better than mine, but how could I trust that brain of his, all fested with dreaming?
But I tell you, they're not Japs. And that woman is beautiful.
If I had only listened to Lacey, then if I had only known. But Japs or no Japs, I was taking no chances. I raised my rifle and...
Knock it off, you jerk. You hit the woman.
Lacey, where are you going?
I'm going to see if she's hurt bad. Now, come on.
Don't go, Lacey. You know the Japs. It might be a trick.
Don't worry about me. Will you let go of my arm?
You get yourself killed.
Not me, Tabari. I'll live to spit in your grave. Now, let go of me.
Okay, I hope you know what you're doing. I just don't want to get involved in your cockamamie dreams.
Dreams? It's no dream, Tabari. You'll find out.
Okay, Lacey. So where is she?
That's funny. Must be around here somewhere. Maybe she...
What's that?
It's coming from over there. Come on. Now, here she is.
She's scared of us.
It's all right, lady.
Go away. Go away.
No, we ain't gonna hurt you, lady.
I hurt you.
Maybe she's armed.
Nah, she's bluffing. Break out your first aid kit.
Here.
That's a boy. No, look, lady. Let me fix your arm, huh? See? We got bandages and adhesive tape and penicillin.
She don't get what you're talking about.
She gets the idea, all right. That's right, lady. Now, this is not going to hurt you a little bit. There. And we put it around there. You just got nicked a little, that's all. Just a flesh wound.
She trusts you.
Yeah. She trusts me more than you do. Didn't I tell you she was beautiful?
You told me a lot of things. How about the men she was with, the big men?
She was with them and they weren't Japs.
Not Japs in a pig's eye, not Japs.
No. No, they're not Japs.
Yeah, there, you see?
And what were they?
They were... How you say... My people.
Well, who are you? What are you? What's your name?
Name Tucky. I am... I know... Can't say in English, but please go away. Please, you go away fast.
Now you scared her again. No, it's gonna be all right, Taki. Everything's gonna be all right. You
You just come on with us.
No, I go home. Must go home.
So go home. Scram. Lose yourself.
Oh, no, you don't.
Let her alone, Lacey.
Hey, you keep out of this.
Then let her go. Let her get back to her rice paddies.
You still don't catch Tabori. She ain't from Okinawa. She's from that island I was telling you about.
Look, Lacey, I don't care if she's from Mars.
I'm not from Mars.
No kidding.
Also, I'm not from Okinawa.
What?
I'm from Yakachi. Yakachi Shima.
Shima, there, you see? Shima means an island.
Yes, island.
Then what are you doing here?
I do not know. The Japanese brought us in canoe.
She's crazier than you are. Whoever heard...
Shut up. Taki, where is your island? Where is Yagachi?
In east, in China Sea.
Yeah?
A half day from Okinawa, by canoe.
Canoe.
What's it like, Taki? What's your island like?
Never mind the island. Let's find a canoe. Don't you see, Lacey? With the canoe, we can get back to our lines by water.
Yeah, I think maybe you got something there.
Taki. Taki, can you find the canoe?
I think I can.
Then let's go. She led us on through the wood. A lopsided moon came up, and its ray filtered through the clouds and down through the jagged trees. In the moonlight, she was like one of those porcelain figurines. Delicate, with a peculiar tint to her skin, unlike anything I'd ever seen before. The shade of waxed ivory, ancient ivory. Her hair was long and black and drawn tight over her head. She was straight and slim, and she walked with dignity. She was beautiful as a dream, Lacey's dream. But dreams don't come true, not like this. Yet here she was, just the way he described her, and the three men in the island. I couldn't figure it out. And just then I hadn't the time because... Lacey, listen to that.
What? Yeah. Well, come on.
Taki led us down a slope to the water. There were canoes, and leaning against the prow were two sentries. They were safe, they thought. 3 miles behind their lines, snug as two bugs in a mosquito net. They were so safe, they didn't know what hit them.
Get in the canoe. Okay, you push us off to Burry.
Yeah.
Come on. That's a boy. All right, you take a bow. Sit down, Taki.
Where to?
Straight out in the channel. You know what I think, Tabori? I think we're gonna make it. Oh. Okay, Tabori. We can take it easy now.
I'm not taking it easy until we cross our perimeter.
Yeah? Well, just how are you going to tell at night? With your Zippo lighter?
Oh, lay off.
Maybe you think I got neon signs, huh?
Well, maybe we'll see a landmark or something.
Yeah. Well, the trouble is distances can fool you at night. We're liable to paddle into a platoon of nips.
What'll we do, Lacey?
Yeah, we'll stand by till morning and head for our convoy. We'll ride ashore in style in an LST.
I don't know. I think it'd be better.
Well, look, whatever you think, you're outvoted. You've outvoted 2-1.
Pulling rank, Corporal?
Why not, knucklehead? This ship's got one skipper, and I'm it.
You are,
if I want any stuff out of you, I'll knock it out of you. I'm warning you, don't foul up this detail.
So what was I gonna do? Argue with him? Start a private firefight in the middle of the China Sea? I was getting a little combat weary myself. But Lacey, He was all charged up as though his crazy dream had come true. Lying on the narrow deck of the canoe, I could hear Lacey. The more I heard, the more confused I got.
And it's not like the other islands, is it, Tucky?
It's different. You got you.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I could tell you how.
Oh, I know, I know. It's pretty, huh?
It's very pretty, but...
Is the fishing good?
It's good. And we have pigs.
Yeah? Cows?
Good cows.
Oh, I knew it, I knew it.
Cows and pigs. And Lacey getting all hopped up about them. That's the last thing I remembered. I guess I fell asleep. And then suddenly it was daylight and...
Tabori! Hey, look, Tabori.
What?
Look, over there. What do you see?
An island. Just an island.
It's not just an island. That's my island.
What's so special about
it? Well, look at it. Look at it. You see, it's surrounded by mist, just like I said.
Tell it to the troops when we get back to Okinawa.
Stand by for a ram, Tabori. We ain't going back to Okinawa.
Now, wait a minute.
I don't want any more trouble out of you.
Then don't make any, or I'll... Where?
You looking for your rifle? Well, don't bother, because I got it right here. Now, you get up forward.
You're crazy.
Move! You know, you're flirting with a Purple Heart. That's a boy. All right, now lean on that paddle. That's right. We're heading for your gotcha.
Escape, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, returns in just a moment. Motorists, the next time you put your foot down on the accelerator, tread easy. Remember that excess speed is the cause of most highway accidents. And pedestrians, the next time you start to cross the street between intersections, stop and think. Crossing between intersections is the most dangerous thing you can do. Whether walking or driving, be careful. The life you save may be your own. And now, back to Escape.
Our canoe scraped the coral beach at Yagachi about 4 hours later. It was a lovely island with terraced hills and patches of tilled soil checkering the greenery.
Well, here we are. Seeing's believing, huh, Tabori?
Funny. So close to Okinawa, and this place looks like it never heard a shot fired in anger.
Where are your people, Taki?
Long way over hills. But you must not come. You go back now.
Oh, no, not me. I'm sticking around. How about you, Tabori?
You can't miss far. I'll sweat it out just for the laughs.
Yeah, well, you're going to laugh out of the wrong side of your face.
What do you mean?
Just a figure of speech, Taki. Let's go. So there I was, caught up in Lacey's dream when all the time I should have taken off at high port for Okinawa. I should have known better, but I didn't. And what you don't know can hurt you. Plenty.
Hey, look! Look at that cow.
You could eat her down to the hooves.
Oh, I tell you, I'm going to live off the fat of the land.
The trail snaked upward. Pine trees and casuarinas rattled in the sweet, strong wind from the China Sea. Their cones lay along the footpath, and in the fields were raspberry bushes. There were lilies in the sword grass and scarlet flowers. All very nice, I suppose, but I was looking for people. The big men of Lacey's dream. The girls, all as lovely as a girl beside us. I was tense with expectancy at each bend in the trail, but Lacey's tensions had vanished. He lost them because he'd found Taki.
Robert Lacey.
Oh, Taki. My name's Lacey. Now try it again.
Lacey.
Lacey. L, like in, this is a lily, you are a lady.
And you're loco.
Tabori, I'm going to slug you.
You're so funny, Racy, when you're mad.
Oh, you laugh nice, Taki.
It is first time in 5 years. It is first time I happy.
Maybe. Maybe you was waiting for me to make you happy. Like I was waiting for you.
What do you mean, Racy?
Well, I mean... Here. This is for you.
Why you give me flower?
I love you, Tucky.
No. No, you cannot.
But why, Tucky?
You don't know. I don't know how to say, but you don't know me.
Oh, I know you. I've been dreaming about you for 2 years. I always knew I'd find you.
I never forget what you say.
I'll never let you forget.
Oh, Racy.
Lacey, honey. L, like in love.
They walked on together, the tall Marine and the slim girl with the ivory skin, with a flower in her hand. Now and then she'd look at the flower, and then she'd look at Lacey, and a pained expression clouded her face as though she didn't understand. But I did. The loneliness, the weariness, the refuge in a dream. Very soon now that dream would burst like a bubble, or become reality. I had to find out.
Man, what a climb.
It'd be easier for you if you give me back my rifle.
Now, don't you worry about me. I'll get by.
Hey, we got it licked. There's the summit.
Yeah.
It is highest point on Yogashi. See, down there, far away in valley.
Hey, look. Look at them.
They my people.
I told you they were big men.
How can you tell from this distance?
Well, look how broad they are.
Funny how they're all in a bunch. Hey, listen.
Yeah. Maybe it's a sort of a ceremony or something, huh?
It is.
Maybe it's for us. I bet they know we're coming.
No. It is for dead.
What happened, you suppose? A war?
The war not here. It... My people die.
Everybody's people die. It's gotta happen sooner or later.
Yes. Sooner or later.
It's like I always say, here today and gone tomorrow.
I never heard it so well put.
Oh, drop dead.
Dad, dry up. Let's go, Tucky. We went down the mountainside, down to a cape that jutted into the Pacific like a gnarled finger of doom. Far away, we saw a village. We headed toward it through the sunless gorge. At the far end was a thatched hut.
It looks like it's empty.
As any fool could see.
You wait here. I come back soon with headman. He speak English good.
You gonna stay here with me, Tabori?
No, Lacey. I just want one good look at your big men and beautiful women in their native habitat. Then I'm off for Okinawa.
You still want proof, huh?
Yeah. There's something strange about this place. I want to know what it is.
It's not strange. It's just different, like I said.
You're all fouled up in a dream, Lacey. I'm not sure what it's all about, but I gotta find out. It'll drive me crazy the rest of my life.
You mean crazy like me?
I didn't say that.
Since we left Okinawa, you've been giving me a bad time.
It was mutual.
Now you call me crazy.
I know what I said.
I know what you think. And I know what you'll do. Once you get back to Okinawa, you'll tell the MPs I went over the hill. You'll tell them where I am. And they'll come after me.
You are crazy.
I'm just crazy enough to make sure you keep your trap shut. You remember, Tabori, I said I'd be around to spit in your grave?
Hey, Lacey, stop kidding around with that rifle.
I ain't kidding. I'm gonna kill you.
No question about it, he wasn't kidding. He slid back the bolt of his rifle and it sprang forward, a cartridge in the chamber.
I'm gonna kill you, Tabori. But first you're going to see I was right. I want to see the expression on that smart-aleck face of yours when you admit it. And then I'm going to kill you. Now get back in that corner. And keep your mouth shut. You the head man?
I suppose you could call me that.
His name, Hiroshi.
What can I do for you?
Well, I want to stay here with Taki.
I am afraid you can't.
Well, I'll work my way, you know that.
That is not the point. You cannot...
Look, I don't want no arguments out of you.
You cannot stay.
But why can't I?
She is a leper.
But she's so beautiful.
I know, son. But in 3 years, 5 years...
Taki? I'm sorry, Taki.
So am I. I try to tell you, but I not know how. And then I could not, even if I want to. I wanted to rest one more hour, one more minute.
They stood there facing each other, the tall Marine and the girl with the ivory skin with the flower still in her hand, the flower already beginning to wilt.
Goodbye, Racy.
Goodbye.
Thank you for the flower.
That's all right.
I never forget you.
I won't forget either. It was like a dream come true. For a while it was.
Goodbye.
Hiroshi, what's this all about?
It is quite simple. 2 nights ago, the Japanese came to the leper colony. They took more than half my patients to Okinawa, headed toward the American lines.
But why?
To disrupt your advance. There was no chance of contagion, but, well, my patients aren't all as lovely as Taki.
I see. Schrecklichkeit.
Exactly. A weapon of terror.
Tabori?
Yeah, Lacey?
I guess we better move out, huh? You ready, pal?
Yeah. Long road back to Okinawa.
For me, the road back is longer than that.
Under the direction of Norman MacDonald, Escape has brought you The Island by Millard Kaufman, starring Harry Bartell and Bill Conrad, with Michael Ann Barrett and Edgar Berrier. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens.
Next week, escape with us to the most evil city in the Orient, and the story of a beautiful but unscrupulous woman who ruled it. As Herb Purdom tells it in his exciting tale, Macau.
He's coming up next on most of these same CBS stations. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. You want to hear every exciting minute of The Fairway Matter, in which 13 die when one man is marked for murder. It's one of Johnny Dollar's most exciting insurance investigations, in which he turns in a masterful expense account as well as masterful deduction. Stay tuned for yours truly, Johnny Dollar, next on most of these same CBS stations. Roy Rowan speaking. This is CBS, where you meet Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons, every Thursday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Come here, you. Yeah, you. I'd like to buy a share in a gold mine, eh? Cheap. This may be a big chance. So, listen.
Theater 5 presents Found Money.
Mr. Corbett, naughty, naughty.
Nautical but nice, huh?
Oh, you mustn't say such wicked things.
I'll say it again, Miss Lewis. In a topless bathing suit, you would stand out.
Please, Mr. Corbett, change the subject.
All right, what should we change it?
Well, your work as a geologist, Mr. Corbett, do you find it interesting? Oh, I don't believe you.
Except 2 nights ago.
2 nights ago?
Discovered a gold nugget as big as a plum.
Why, but 2 nights ago, we were already at sea.
Correct.
You, mister, you discovered a gold nugget on board our ship?
Yeah, when a young fella showed it to me.
Oh, you. A real gold nugget?
He found it.
Oh, my. Where?
In a mountain stream. In Burma.
Well, he'll be a millionaire. Imagine, a whole gold mine.
Well, somebody has to be lucky.
Oh, Mr. Corbett, why not you?
Why not me what?
Well, why not buy a share in his mine?
Me invest? Me?
Well, why not? Don't you want to get rich?
Oh, Miss Lewis, I couldn't even afford a beetle haircut.
Don't they pay geologists enough?
Not thirsty geologists.
Well, but what about this trip to Australia?
On the cuff, courtesy of Sydney University, which badly needs geologists on its faculty.
Oh, I see.
Why not you?
Me? You mean invest? Well, I don't have the money.
Well, cable your bank back home for $2,000 or $3,000.
What, I...
It's nothing to me. I pass up $100,000 if you want to.
$100,000? Oh, my. Oh, Mr. Corbett, I only wish I could invest.
That's a chance of a lifetime.
Yes, I know. But when I got home, I wouldn't have a cent left.
Oh. Come on now.
No, no.
Miss May Lewis, the designer of children's clothes, broke?
Heavens, you took me for May Ann Lewis.
You're not?
Oh, I only wish I were. No, I'm just plain May Lewis, a school mom from Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls?
Yes, I'm on sabbatical. It took me 10 years to save for this trip, Mr. Corbett. So you see, I...
Yes, I see, all right.
Oh, imagine. A gold mine.
Oh, well, maybe opportunity will knock again sometime, Miss Lewis. Well, I'll see you around.
Oh, Mr. Corbett. Oh, dear.
I'm out of trouble you for a light.
No, sure.
Thanks. By the way, I couldn't help overhearing part of your conversation with the lady in the dining room.
No.
And my name is Fingers, from Baton Rouge.
Bill Corbett, Milwaukee.
Delighted to meet you, sir. Delighted. It just happens that I'm extremely interested in precious metals.
Oh, I see.
Now, that fellow Baker's nugget, are you absolutely certain that that is genuine?
I've been a geologist for 11 years, Mr. Finger. I guess I should know.
Ah. And what would you say it was worth?
$7,000 or $8,000. Rough guess, of course.
I see. Huh? See? And you think it definitely indicates a very rich claim.
There's no doubt about it.
Young Baker realizes, of course.
I told him when he showed me the nugget. Didn't he already know? He'd guessed. But he hadn't shown it to anyone except a few people he trusted back home. Raise money.
Well, now, why did he risk showing it to you?
He got worried by a book he'd read in the ship's library.
Oh, worried about what?
That maybe he'd only found fool's gold, iron pyrite. He'd heard that I was a geologist, so he asked me to assess it.
Now, Mr. Carver, who saw you... You were to discover that you were mistaken.
What do you mean, mistaken?
Well, I suppose you hunted up Baker and apologized.
Apologized? For what?
Well, for having had a drop too much when you analyzed that specimen for him.
Well, what if I did?
Will you explain that you're worried that you may have misled him, and so you ask him to let you examine the nugget again?
What are you driving at?
And then you make the sad discovery that you have made a mistake. It's just plain iron pyrite, after all.
Now, why should I want to do that?
$500.
Oh... Well, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Especially for a man who can't even afford a beetle haircut.
You've got good ears, Mr. Finger.
Oh, I always listen for opportunity knocking, sir.
Of course, I don't know why you're doing this, do I? It's none of my business, is it?
Yeah, that's right. None of your business.
In cash, the whole 500 now?
All right, after I talk to Miss Bacon, I'm convinced that you've kept your part of the bargain.
Yeah, suppose he won't believe it's just fool's gold.
Oh, I think he'll believe it. I'm sure you can be mighty convincing for $500.
That would certainly buy a lot of thirst quenchers, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And Australia is a mighty thirsty place. Yeah. Now, let me get this straight, Mr. Finger. You mean you want to buy 60% interest for $1,000?
Yes, that's right, my boy.
But I already told you it's not a real gold mine. Mr. Corbett said he'd made a mistake. It's just iron pyrite.
Yes, I know, and I admire your honesty, young man.
Well, then why do
but
you...
But I'm a gambler, son. Nothing I like better than a good long shot. I'm a very lucky man.
You still think there's a chance it might be real gold?
A chance in a million, maybe.
And you're willing to bet $1,000 on it?
When I win, son, I like to win big. Well, if it'll ease your mind, we'll spell that right out in the contract that I'm buying 60% of whatever is in that load of yours. Iron pyrite, gold, or pits of pie. Now, how's that, son, eh?
So now I own a gold mine. I'd carved my way into Millionaire's Row for a paltry grand and a half on the pot. Yeah, this is the last trip I'd ever have to make with a marked deck. Laying out the 1500, though, it left me a little short in the pocket, so I decided to go ahead with one last mark. I'd set him up the night before, baiting the hook by dropping 20 bucks in a friendly game. He just couldn't wait to bite into some more of that easy money. So I dusted off my cards
and I headed for the latest roundup.
Baker?
It's all right, Corbett. No one in the cabin but me.
Beautiful job, kid. Especially for an amateur.
Oh, gee, thanks, Corbett.
Real live one, that finger, huh?
Oh, sharp, sharp.
Did he ask to see the gold-plated gizmo?
Oh, sure.
Figured.
Okay, let's have my half.
Sure.
Right after you split what finger gave you to tell me the mine was worthless.
Oh, right. Yes, he did slip me a prime. Almost forgotten.
Here's your half.
$50.
Mm-hmm. Now, my half of the big touch.
Oh, sure. 50, 100, 200, 250. There you are.
250?
I didn't come down in the last shower, kid.
What do you mean?
Finger paid you a lot more than 500.
You called me a liar?
And a bad one.
Oh, now, see here, Corbett. Now, I agreed to work con with you, yes, but I still have my principles.
Oh, man, come alive.
Oh, so you're not going to trust me?
You funny me, boy, you know.
Well, then, why did you ask me to be your partner?
I thought I could teach you con, kid. Instead, you're teaching me.
Corbett, where are you going?
I don't really mind your lying to me, boy, but when you take me for fool enough to believe it...
Oh, now, wait a minute, Corbett, please, I...
You're on your own, kid. No hard feelings, all the luck in the world. Without me, sonny boy, you're gonna need it.
Oh, Corbett, Corbett! All right, then. Beat it. I don't need you. And you'll be sorry you walked out on me. I am going to make the biggest score you ever saw. And all by myself. I'll show you. Sunday, worrying about Corbett's breaking up our partnership and wondering how smart I'd been trying to give him the short end of the deal. It wasn't just the extra $250 I wanted. But I just couldn't resist seeing if I was smart enough to con an old con man. Well, I got away with it, but I'd outsmarted myself. Now, how could I work con alone? And what kind of con? The gold nugget bit we'd worked on finger was all Corbett's ideas. Now, what could I do for an encore and without Corbett? Suddenly...
Oh, I'm so sorry. I beg your pardon.
Yeah, what for?
For falling on you like this.
Oh, my pleasure. Isn't every day a beautiful girl falls right in a fellow's arms? Yeah. There you are.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yes, thanks.
What's your name?
Faith Richardson.
Miss Faith Richardson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. I'm Pete Baker.
Well, how do you do?
Please, sit down.
Oh, thank you.
I've been saving this deck chair just for you.
You didn't even know me.
I wanted to. From the first day out.
You never even spoke to me.
Well, how could I? You're always with your father.
You really did notice me, didn't you? I'm flattered, Mr. Baker.
Oh. Call me Pete. Please?
You're going a bit fast for a missionary's daughter.
Missionary? You?
Why so surprised?
Well, your hair, for instance.
Oh, what's wrong with
it? Oh, it's wonderful. Like an orange sunset.
Missionaries' daughters aren't supposed to have hair like orange sunsets.
No. Nor long eyelashes. And eyes the color of the sea along a coral reef at sunset.
Well, that's very beautiful, Mr. Baker.
So are you, Miss Richardson.
And why else don't I seem to you a suitable daughter for a missionary?
Well,
Your father wears a business suit.
Well, he's not affiliated with any church.
A missionary without a church?
Mm-hmm, at the moment. Well, he did belong to one, but he left it.
Why?
Well, he... Oh, there's Father now. Oh, Father.
Oh, there you are, Faith. I was looking for you.
Father, I want you to meet Mr. Peter Baker.
Pleasure, Reverend.
Well, how are you, young man?
Oh, please, join us, sir.
No, thank you. No. Don't get up. I'll just sit here on the arm of Faith's chair.
Where is your mission, Reverend?
Well, it was in Dutch West New Guinea. It
was? Well, what happened to it?
Burned to the ground. During the invasion of North Guinea by Sukarno's troops.
20 years of work wiped out in one day.
A school, church, native clinic.
Oh, gee, that's terrible.
You know, there was nothing but jungle when Father first went there. The natives were headhunters and cannibals, but Father won them over. Oh, he worked hard, very hard, to build the mission.
Did you really convert them, Reverend?
Father civilized whole tribes.
Now, I simply helped some of my brothers unfortunate enough to be born in savagery.
There ought to be more men with your kind of dedication, sir. But what happened after your mission burned?
Well, the natives lost their faith in the power of heaven to protect them. They became pagans again.
Gosh, that must have been tough for you.
Father managed to escape, more dead than alive.
How did he get out of New Guinea?
Well, an Australian oil expedition spotted him and flew him south to Townsville.
In fact, where were you all this time?
College. Oh, on a scholarship.
And your mother?
Well, Mother died 3 years ago. I'd wanted to drop out and join Father in New Guinea then, but...
I still say the jungle is no place for a young girl, Faye.
Oh, now, Father, you know you need me as a nurse.
You're still in poor health, sir?
No, that's poppycock.
Really? Is that why the church board wouldn't hear of your going back?
The church board, pack of fools.
And the jungle at your age, Father?
Rubbish. Moses was almost 90 when he led the Israelites out of Egypt. And I, too, must go where Providence calls me.
Mm-hmm. You see, Mr. Baker, my father is a very stubborn man.
I can't help admiring him.
I do, too. That's why I dropped out of college to go back with him.
Against my wishes.
Well, I'm as stubborn as you are, Father.
Oh, then the church board finally came around, huh?
No, unfortunately. They washed their hands of the mission because the natives had turned on Father.
But you're going to New Guinea anyhow.
Entirely on our own, Mr. Baker.
The mission must be rebuilt, all of it.
Well, suppose Sukarno's troops won't let you do it, Reverend.
They'll have to kill me to stop me. So will the witch doctors.
Oh, Reverend, you've got what it takes.
It's simply a matter of conscience, Mr. Baker.
But, Faith, aren't you scared?
Yes. But I'm more worried about how we'll manage.
What do you mean?
Well, passage took every cent we had.
Now, Faith, heaven will provide.
I hope so, Father. We need so many things. Provisions, building materials, furniture, clothing, medicine, Bible.
How long do you plan to stay?
As long as Father needs me.
But you might be... You're so young.
Well, I couldn't let Father go back into the jungle alone at his age. Mr. Baker, I've lived selfishly long enough. Now it's time for me to make some of the sacrifices Father's been making all his life. I couldn't live with my conscience if I didn't.
Oh, but be realistic. You have no funds.
Something will turn up.
Oh, now look. Well, now look here. I'd like to... Well... Here, take this.
Oh, Mr. Baker, no, I couldn't.
Now, don't argue. I want you to have it.
This is so much money.
It's only 800.
Only? Why, Mr. Baker, it's a fortune to us.
Now, don't think anything of it, please.
Oh, but...
All found money. I don't mean to throw it away foolishly.
Faith, Providence has sent this young man to us. We shall name the new mission after him.
Oh, gosh, Reverend.
It is the least we can do to repay your charity, young man. I shall never forget your magnificent gesture.
Nor I, Peter. father and I have taken you to our hearts.
Faith, you were terrific.
Oh, it was a bravura performance, wasn't it, Pa?
$800 for an hour's work.
Yes.
Magnificent. Soda? All on the rocks, honey.
Oh, soda, please.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Pop. Well, Heim.
Score.
That makes 2 scores in a total of 1,205 days at sea. Not bad.
Yeah, wait till after tonight, baby.
Tonight?
Another fish coming up. My own special.
Oh, Pop, no.
Honey, this fish is just begging for the hook.
But you're supposed to be a missionary. It won't look right.
Nobody's going to see us. We're playing in his stateroom.
Oh, why can't you stick to one racket at a time?
Now, stop worrying, honey. I don't even have to deal from the bottom with this fish.
Oh, Pop, you...
I played gin with him yesterday and took him for $20.
Pop, be careful, huh?
It's found money, baby. Never saw an easier mark. And this man, Finger, owns 60% of a gold mine.
Money, written by Jules Archer and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Cliff Carpenter, Evelyn Juster, Ian Martin, Stan Watt, and James Monk.
That does it for the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Escape and Theater 5 at the website. You'll also find past episodes of this show, all the others, and everything else Relic Radio. RelicRadio.com is that website. Our Shoutcast stream is there as well, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support it all, make sure it all sticks around. Give that a click. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.